Good morning. It's 8 o'clock on Saturday, the 30th of November. This is Morning Ireland, an election special on RTE Radio 1 and the RTE News Channel with Áine Lawler and Gavin Jennings.
And this morning, Ireland voted, so what did they say? Over the next 2 hours, we'll have more details on the exit poll, political reaction, expert analysis and first news from the count centres after ballot boxes open at 9.
Áine and me are with you till 10. RTE Radio 1's election coverage continues right through till 2 a.m. The news is read for you this morning by Brian Jennings.
The counting of votes in the general election will begin at 9 o'clock this morning, with some first count results expected early in the afternoon. A new exit poll suggests that Fine Gael and Sinn Féin are virtually tied when it comes to first preference votes, with Fianna Fáil slightly further back, making the result of the general election too close to call. Our political correspondent Micheál Lahan.
The exit poll carried out by Ipsos Behaviour and Attitudes for RTE, The Irish Times, TG Cahir and Trinity College Dublin indicates that the big three parties are separated by just 1.6%, with the margin of error 1.4%. The polls suggest that Sinn Féin are on 21.1%, Fine Gael 21% and Fianna Fáil 19.5%. It indicates that the combined Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael vote figure is down on 2020, but transfers between the parties look to have increased. The survey of voters suggests that the Green Party's first preference support stands at 4%, Labour 5%, the Social Democrats 5.8%, ANPTHU on 3.6%, Solidarity People Before Profit at 3.1%, and Independents at 12.7%, while Independent Ireland is on 2.2% and others 1.9%. The figures point to a potentially tricky process around forming a government, given that it could require a combination of possibly four parties to comfortably reach the figure of 87 TDs required for a Dáil majority.
Further details have been released of the exit poll carried out by Ipsos Behaviour and Attitudes for RTE, The Irish Times, TG Cahir and Trinity College Dublin. With more, here's Fiacra O'Chiona of our political staff.
Chief among the exit poll questions is who voters want to be the next Taoiseach, with the public seemingly divided between Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald. According to the exit poll, 35% of respondents said they want to see the Fianna Fáil leader leading the next government. He is closely followed by 34% support for the Sinn Féin leader, with Fine Gael leader Simon Harris trailing on 27%. The exit poll also contains insights on who the public wants to see form a coalition. 31% of voters said they want to see a Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael coalition, followed by 22% who want to see a Sinn Féin-led coalition without the other two big parties. A Fianna Fáil-Sinn Féin coalition received 7% support, a Fine Gael-Fianna Fáil and Independent coalition 9%, and a Fine Gael-Fianna Fáil and smaller parties coalition 9%. 56% of Fianna Fáil voters told the exit poll they want to see a coalition with Fine Gael, while 65% of Fine Gael voters responded the same way. Housing and homelessness was the single biggest issue for voters according to the exit poll at 28%, followed by cost of living at 19%, health at 17%, economic stability at 9% and immigration at 6%.
Islamist rebels in Syria are reported to have taken control of more than half of Aleppo, the country's second city, as they continued their lightning offensive. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which monitors the conflict, says forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad withdrew without offering significant resistance. In Georgia, mass protests sparked by the government's decision to withdraw from the EU integration process have continued for a second night. In the capital, Tbilisi, the situation turned violent, with police using water cannons to disperse the crowds. More than 100 people were arrested. An explosion has damaged a canal in northern Kosovo, supplying water to two coal-fired power plants that generate nearly all of the country's electricity. The country's Prime Minister, Albin Kurti, has blamed neighbouring Serbia for what he described as a criminal and terrorist attack. Now the weather.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Looking for lower cost heating? Why not upgrade to an award-winning HVO biofuel-ready Grant Vortex condensing boiler? Visit grant.ie.
Cloudy with patchy light rain, drizzle and mist this morning. More persistent rain in the west and southwest later, spreading across the country during the evening. Highest temperatures 12 to 15 degrees in fresh and gusty southerly winds, increasing strong in the west and south later. And there's a warning that southerly winds will reach gale force 8 at times today on coasts from Valentia to Bloody Foreland to Carlingford Lough.
Brian, thank you. And after the break, we'll have Micheál Lehane and the exit poll.
This weekend in the Irish Times, the general election. Find out what happened and why with our exit poll analysis in print and comprehensive results coverage online and in-app throughout the weekend. In magazine, Conor Pope has a great guide to online Christmas shopping, including the 100 best Irish websites to visit. Tara Brady talks to Oscar winner Cate Blanchett on the release of her new film, Rumours. And in sport, Gerry Thorney profiles Cian Healy, the Irish forward set to gain a record 134th cap. Buy in store or get it delivered to your door. The Irish Times. Because you get it.
Discover masterpieces by Jack B. Yeats and William Orpen from the Jacqueline and Vincent O'Brien collection at Adams on the Green this weekend, as well as other fine Irish paintings from the Francis D. Murnaghan Jr. collection. The live auction takes place on Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can also view the sale at adams.ie. Adams, the home of Irish art since 1887.
Pause for a moment and give a little thought to your library, that place of welcome and connection, a place where all of us are represented. Think of how we are looking to a brighter future together with our communities. Library Ireland Week, Sunday, December 1st until Saturday, December 7th. And the theme for this year is Where Ideas Matter, the freedom to think, to discover and to be yourself. Visit libraryirelandweek.ie for details.
RTE. Supporting the arts.
Ag tacu leis na halianna.
Morning Ireland, 7 minutes past eight, and after 3 weeks of a campaign, billions and billions in manifesto promises, how much has actually changed after yesterday's vote? Are we looking at a photo finish? The coming hours and days will make that clear. And in the meantime, there's plenty of data in the RTE, Irish Times, TG Care, Trinity College Dublin exit poll by Ipsos B&A. And Micheál Lehane, our political correspondent, has been going through it. Micheál, first of all, set the scene, the context on this poll.
Yeah, this poll is over 5,000 people were interviewed across the 43 constituencies, and that's a margin of error of 1.6%. So it is a step ahead of an opinion poll for the reason, the size of the sample, and also the fact that people have just voted. So it is more nailed down.
So what did we learn in terms of the party first preferences?
Yeah, in terms of the party first preferences, what you can see are the three big parties bunched together. But it is Sinn Féin who are at the top end of that on 21.1%, followed by Fine Gael on 21%. And then it is Fianna Fáil on 19.5%. So that shows that those big blocks, which seem to be such an amazing revelation in 2020, that you now had these three centre blocks forming, that has become the norm. And as a result, certain things emerge from that. The possibility of the next government already seems to begin to take shape, for the sole reason that two of those three parties say that they won't deal with the third one, which is Sinn Féin. And off the back of that figure alone, it isn't possible to calculate seats first. Talking to people across the parties this morning, you just can't tot up those seat figures based on those percentages alone. But you could say that it looks difficult for Sinn Féin to find an alternative route to power without one of the other two bigger parties.
And the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael relationship, that's borne out in the transfer patterns and the exit poll as well.
That's a really notable thing, that the transfers between the two have doubled in the teens the last time, now kind of in the order of 30%. That's another indicator that they could get the combined number of seats further up the line as the counts go on.
Now, Fianna Fáil, you'd been reporting the last few days that, you know, there was a sense in the Fianna Fáil campaign that maybe things were going a bit better for them, and they had pulled ahead of Fine Gael.
Well, I thought even in Fine Gael last night, before the exit poll came in, within Fine Gael there was a kind of an expectation that Fianna Fáil would be in the top spot. There mightn't be much in it, but that isn't the case based on the exit poll. But previous exit polls have in the past underrated that Fianna Fáil vote. The Fianna Fáil voter can remain shy even after voting, it seems.
Indeed. But he is the top choice for Taoiseach in this exit poll, is he?
Micheál Martin is the top choice, coming 1 point ahead of the Sinn Féin leader. He's at 35, Mary Lou MacDonald on 34, and then Simon Harris is at 27. There is a breakdown across the different ages, though. Younger voters do back Mary Lou MacDonald considerably more, but by some a wide margin.
We've been talking about the big three and how closely bunched they are together. This was supposed to be the year of the independents, and also a lot of attention will be focusing on the smaller parties who might or might not be willing to do a coalition deal.
Yeah, the independents look to be above 12%. Which is solid, and you're going to be a significant part of the next Dáil. Will they be a significant part in any form of the next government? Just a bit too early to say. Independent Ireland is in there as well, around the 2% mark. Of the other parties, it is the Social Democrats who look to have pulled ahead there at 5.8%. Do they have candidates in the field to make big gains? Now, possibly they do. Labour at 5% are there, and the Greens are at 4%, which would suggest there isn't a meltdown there. There are seat losses, but there's a possibility of holding something. I think it probably is notable there that along the way, consistently, Ivana Bacic has been talking about forming this alliance of the left afterwards, and only the Greens seem interested in that. I mean, is there a possibility there that you have Labour and the Greens going as a kind of a cohesive block into government formation talks? And it may take that four parties now rather than just three to get up to that 87, 88 mark and to have a bit more to spare.
It seems to have been a low enough turnout around the country, although Dublin Central standing out.
Dublin Central is up considerably, but all the other Dublin constituencies were down. And across the country, it does look like it's going to fall below that 62.9%, which it was the last time. And I mean, the fact that that vote was on a Saturday was given as one of the reasons why that turnout was meant to be below. I mean, you're so far off where you were in the 60s and 70s, where turnout was into 70 and 80% at certain times.
Yeah, and so that begs the question, you know, how much has really changed after 3 weeks of campaigning? All no. those promises, did, you know, so did bad weather and a bit of apathy win?
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, the campaign trundled along. It never glided. It has served up nothing new, really, despite all that talk of new energy and change over the last 3 weeks. So it does look, on first reading, that you're going to have potentially the return of the two, of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and there's going to be some other group joining them there. How that exactly is done is probably a little bit trickier than maybe even the last time, but that's the way things are pointing at the moment. There is a key dynamic, of course, in all that, which can only be determined when all the seats are filled, and that is that concept of the rotating Taoiseach. There's a feeling that there has to be a gap of no more than six seats if that is to be smoothly agreed, possibly up to eight, but anything after that and you're into a slightly different discussion, maybe.
The parity of esteem, question would have to be addressed. Micheál, the constituencies, I mean, no ballot box has been opened yet. We have to wait another three quarters of an hour for that. But the constituencies you're going to be watching most closely today that might indicate whether the exit poll is accurate or whether there are other factors.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at Sinn Féin, the last time it was that they didn't have enough candidates in the field to make gains. So you look immediately to places like Dublin South Central there. There should be a Sinn Féin gain there this time. That's an interesting constituency too, because several parties look at making progress there. There's a battle between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to try and win a seat in the city there. Labour also looking at that, as are the Social Democrats. And of course you have People Before Profit who are down around the 3% mark on that exit poll, also wanting to hold on there, and the Green candidate as well. That's an interesting one to watch. If you look at that Fine Gael vote now, there were worries at some point during the week that places like Donegal would be too difficult to hold a seat, maybe even Wexford at one point. You look at that vote and you say, well, that is a different story now. For Fianna Fáil, trying to make gains is interesting too. Particularly, you look to what's going to happen in Cork South West. Do Fianna Fáil or hold the seat there, or do Fine Gael get it? That's equally the story in Mead West. That's a battle between the two parties there, and that could be fairly telling, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot. We're talking a lot about parties and so on, but you know, geography will have a huge impact on the way those transfers fall out, no matter what people's ideological preferences might initially be.
Yeah, geography will. And of course, there is that, as well as that, you have independence from certain parts of certain constituencies who are going to make a big impact as well. And you've independents who have fallen out with their parties who will have a major play in that, whether that is people like Kate O'Connell in Dublin Bay South or Eugene Murphy in Roscommon Galway.
All right. And we'll be hearing from Kate O'Connell and indeed other politicians later in the programme. But right now it's time for the expert analysis with Gavin.
Morning Ireland special. We're with you till 10 o'clock this morning. The boxes at count centres will be opened from 9 o'clock. Until then, we're discussing the results of that exit poll released at 10 o'clock last night, just after voting had stopped. Gerard Howland is with us. He's a former advisor to Fianna Fáil-led governments and a political commentator. Christina Finn is with us also. She's a political editor with The Journal. We'll also be speaking to a number of different politicians between now and 10 o'clock, mostly directors of elections. I can see Pauline O'Reilly from the Green Party is in our gallery. We'll be speaking to other party members too between now and 10 o'clock. Gerard, to you first of all, 4 years, a pandemic, a war, a cost of living crisis, a housing crisis, and yet according to this poll, no change, nothing. What's going on here?
Well, there has been a lot of change compared to what was expected before the election. So the campaign did matter. It's changed.
But nothing from 4 years ago?
Not from 4 years ago. It is back to where you were in that sense. It'll be interesting, by the way, to see what the turnover is. But I think what has happened, and is now really significant because it's solidified, this is a democracy in which you can have a government, but you don't seem to be able to find an alternative government. And this, I think, is a foundational, really important thing that's emerging. Where was the alternative government for people who are disaffected with this government? And I think since 2016, we have gone from a 2.5 party system to a 1.5 party system. This is a new status quo that cannot be sustainable. It's not healthy for democracy.
Christina, those big events over 4 years don't appear to have changed anything. But as Gerard was saying there, did the campaign change anything?
I don't feel that it did. I think because it seemed like such a long campaign, in fairness, as much as we're talking about a 3 week campaign, this campaign has been going on for months. And I think having been out on a number of canvases, what I felt from people was a sense of apathy out there. There was no big, you know, defining issue of the last 3 weeks other than a few stumbles and gaffes from different parties. There was no big talking point. Like if we look back at 2020, the pension issue came out of nowhere and that was a major talking point. There hasn't been anything particularly to hook this campaign on. And I just think having, you know, gone through, I think the last 4 years, as you mentioned, the pandemic, the cost of living, conflict in Ukraine and Gaza, I think there's just a level of apathy amongst voters that just seem to bear out in this exit poll, if that does come to pass when the polls are open.
According to the exit poll, housing and homelessness were the single biggest issue for voters. 28% of people who were surveyed said it was the key issue for them, followed by cost of living at 19%, health at 17%, economic stability at 9%. And immigration at 6%, Gerard Howland.
Yes, and both housing and cost of living were by far the biggest issues for potential Sinn Féin and People Before Profit voters, less so proportionately for other parties, so they mattered more for some rather than for others. But I think the consequence of this is, you know, another reason why the campaign mattered is the people of Ireland, very bad manners, I might say, refused to be bribed with their own money. But these promises now are still there. They're an element of political toxicity in terms of the government and incoming government, whatever it is and turns out to be. It has the overhang of this campaign, which is going to make its politics and its governance and our country the worse off because of the way the campaign was conducted.
The turnout, Christina Finn, we don't have accurate figures yet. We only had figures by around 9 o'clock last night. But even the ones that we've seen, for example, in Dublin, would suggest that it was lower than the last time round and lower than we expected given the huge surge of people in recent months who had joined the electoral register. So what happened?
Yeah, there was a huge amount of people that had joined, had first going to be first voters or had first time registered. So it seems to be a bit of an anomaly in terms of people not turning out. Weather played into that. I know some people disagree that that is a factor. You know, in my own polling station, they said people were coming in yesterday like drowned rats early in the day and that it just died off completely until later in the day when it got a bit drier and people were coming in their droves past 6 o'clock.
Did changing from a Saturday back to a Friday make any difference, do you think?
I think it possibly did. I know the younger students and things were saying that perhaps they had difficulties with the Saturday last time. I think it's difficult to
people
get the day
busy
right.
On Friday, though.
Yeah, and I don't know as well coming up to Christmas whether people are, you know, busy. They have a lot of things in their calendar. They're out and about trying to get things done. Perhaps that had a role to play, but I think it's very difficult to make any sort of predictions about what is the best day to ask people to go to the polls.
Jared, the poll is very like the one after the last election, very like the last election itself. But this time it's coming after a grand coalition and an acceptance that that was what was on offer again this time round. It's the preference of a third of voters, according to this exit poll, and the most popular choice of coalition, according to the exit poll. And there's been a big increase, it seems, in second preferences and transfers between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and vice versa. Is there any difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael now?
No. This is the simple answer, and that's part of the evolving problem for our democracy. And I think it depends on how many seats their first preferences and second preferences can get them. But I think there's a big issue for the Greens, for the Social Democrats and for Labour. Can they lock on a line? I doubt it. But I think it's a big issue for them. And if they can lock on a line, what come header can they put on Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil combined? Potentially, depending on how the seats fall, the three together could be very powerful. But can they get it together?
When you say lock on a line, are you suggesting that, for example, for
as Labour's, an alliance dealing yes. together with the two major parties,
but that they should talk to each other before talking to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Of course, and having talked to each other, agree among each other on certain red lines and negotiate as a block with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I think that's a tall order. I think on balance it's probably unlikely, but as a mathematical possibility, were it to be a fact, it's potentially very influential.
If you look at the, if you try to transfer the poll into seats, and that's a, the numbers don't always work out that way. 20 to 21% would give you about 35 to 37 seats. But it's likely based on those second transfers that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael could receive a seat bonus. Christina Finn, were they top 80 between them?
I think it's highly likely that they could get in and around that. That's what I think they'd be hoping for. I think the big focus will be, as Micheál was saying, is the disparity between the seats between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and what that comes down to in terms of the actual formation talks and what kind of leadership we're looking at here. I think it's really interesting that the poll bears out that the majority of people seem to favour Micheál Martin for Taoiseach, followed by Mary Lou MacDonald. And there's an 8-point
very small difference between those two.
Very different, but there's an 8-point gap between Micheál Martin
and Simon Harris.
So does that bear any influence in any sort of rotation Taoiseach model if that comes to pass in the actual results? I can't see, like both leaders have said that they want the first stint in the job. Obviously they would say that, but then it comes into party politics, you know, could Micheál Martin not take the first role as Taoiseach and sit back for 2 years, or does that leave him open to any sort of, you know, heaves in the party? All this comes into play once we get past today.
Senator Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party is with us, and I'm going to come to you shortly. Brendan Howland, or Gerard Howland, excuse me.
All right.
It's a bit early.
Hope he's not offended.
A bit early in the day for me to be mixing up names. Lillian Smith, when she was throwing to us, said it's like Christmas Day for those of us in news and current affairs today. For those heading to count centres, and many of them listening to us this morning, if they're looking to see what Santa has brought, who's going to be the most nervous, do you think?
Oh, I think Simon Harris and Fine Gael. What do they end up with in terms of the seat count? Are they ahead or behind Fianna Fáil? Because the waiting room is a very dangerous place for party leaders.
Stay with us. As I said, Senator Pauline O'Reilly is with us. She's Director of Elections for the Green Party and to the candidate in Galway West. Thank you very much for coming into us this morning. 4% in the exit poll for the Green Party, down from just over 7% from 2020. Will you win seats with that?
I mean, the first thing to say is to thank everybody for voting for us. That no vote has been counted, and we all say that, but I think it is really important, particularly for a small
Radio
party,
One.
To say that, because with a margin of error, it does impact on small parties, potentially significantly. So I don't want to count our chickens before they've hatched. I think it seems
will any chickens hatch with 4%?
Well, I think it's clear that they will. I do think that there have to be seats there, and it's only a question now of how many. And really, you know, there'd be constituencies where we would be on a very low base, and then there'd be constituencies where we're on much, much more. And at this point, without seeing the regional breakdown, it's quite difficult to say where they'll be. So I think that what we'll find is that overall in constituencies where we don't have incumbents, we don't have parliamentary party, that you'll see probably a significantly lower vote. And then in some of the others, you know, there'll be quite a difference because people are known now in their constituencies compared to 2020.
Your party would have benefited hugely in 2020 from transfers. And according to this poll on second preferences, you're somewhat down, significantly down from 2020, especially from your government partners. Why?
I think, again, it is very hard to know. We benefit a lot from preferences down the line and across the board. So once, you know, government parties usually have, or sorry, the larger parties usually have two candidates. So really, it's the preferences down the line that are going to determine this. I think what's clear from it is that we are getting preferences across the board from all the parties rather than one or two, which maybe is different to previous times. And look, you know, on the doors, it felt very much like, you know, people were happy to have the Greens in government, that they feel we performed well, that we delivered, that we did what we said we were going to do. And so I guess our big message was that we needed a boost in number ones because we could feel that the preferences were there. And that will all come out now and play out. Particularly, we were focusing, I guess, on particular constituencies, saying, if you want the Greens in there, which was the strong message to us on the doors, then we do need those high preferences, and let's just see how it plays out.
Let's assume you're right. Let's say the Green Party do come back with some seats from this poll. Would you be interested in what Gerard Howland was saying there? Would you be interested in talking to Labour and the Social Democrats before you talk to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
It's far, far, far too early for that. I mean, you know,
I was part of
the negotiating last time, and we approached every party and we sat down in advance of negotiations. And, you know, not every party wanted to sit down. Not every party wanted to go into government at all. So we have to wait and see. And I think that we'll talk to everybody. We've always said that. And I mean, our party is different to other parties in the sense that we have a strong mandate, particularly around the environment. That's what we can see from this data as well. And I think it's in everybody's consciousness now, the environment. Is it number one for everybody? No, but it's there for most people, which means that we have a mandate, and our mandate is about both social justice and environmental justice.
Mia Olihan, can you offer any hope to Pauline O'Reilly and the Green Party today based on the figures that we've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is more akin, isn't it, to the local election results for the Greens. It's where it's not wipeout, it is losses, and there is something there. I mean, you look to Dublin West, the party leader obviously is a big one and illustrative of where things could be going. And you look to that Dublin South Central as well, can Patrick Costello hold on there? And of course, Dunleary. So the Greens, you would think, based on these figures, will have a presence. I think on that point too about an alliance, you just look at that, and Gerard is referencing it as well. The chances of the Social Democrats, Labour and the Greens forming a bloc does seem remote in the sense that I just can't see Labour and the Social Democrats signing up to that.
Even though the second preference I see between those two parties,
22% is fairly strong. Yeah.
The voters don't seem to see much difference between the two parties.
But the parties do. But I think it isn't impossible that the Greens and Labour could form a bloc. And I mean, equally, it has been Roderick O'Gorman and Ivana Bacci who seem more keen on that idea than the Social Democrats.
Pauline, what are you hearing from Galway?
Galway's a very hard one to call. It's very difficult to tell at this point. Obviously, it's five seats. And much like the exit poll, there are so many different issues. There are so many different alliances. Every door was different. And if you're to read too much into one area over another, I think, you know, I'd be sending things in the opposite direction. So I don't want to do that. But I will say, you know, obviously, I think I stand a chance, obviously. And there's five seats, so that favours small parties. But I think independents will be fine in Galway. And it's a question, I think, of which of the which of the candidates in the larger parties get the seats, and I don't think that's clear at all at this point.
Brian Jennings is here. I'll go to news headlines very shortly. Christina Finn, Gerard Hannan, before I let you both go, what constituencies in particular are you going to be looking out for when the results start to come through through mid-morning and throughout the rest of the day?
Well, I'm going to be in the Wicklow constituency for the count. I think it's going to be a really interesting one. Obviously, the Taoiseach's own constituency.
Stephen Donnelly's.
Lots of mutterings there about how well he'll do, so I think that'll be one to watch.
Gerard Hannan?
I vote in Dublin Central. I hope not rashly, that Mary Lou MacDonald and Pascal Donoghue will be elected. And after that, the remaining two seats will be very interesting. Can Claire Daly get elected? And if not, does that bring Nasa Horrigan back into the frame? What for Gary Gannon? I'm fascinated, I always.
Gerard Hannan and Christina Finn. And before that, Micheál Hann, our political correspondent. Thank you all very much for speaking to us. You're listening to a Morning Ireland election special. We're on air till 10 a.m. RT Radio 1 bringing you election coverage right through till 2 a.m. Sunday morning. Brian Jennings has the latest news.
Thank you, Gavin. The counting of votes in the general election will begin in half an hour's time. Some first count results are expected this afternoon. A new exit poll suggests that Fine Gael and Sinn Féin are virtually tied when it comes to first preference votes, with Fianna Fáil slightly further back, making the result of the general election too close to call. The exit poll carried out by Ipsos Behaviour and Attitudes for RTE, The Irish Times, TG Cahir and Trinity College Dublin indicates the big three parties are separated by just 1.6%, with the margin of error 1.4%. The poll suggests that Sinn Féin are on 21.1%, Fine Gael 21% and Fianna Fáil 19.5%. The exit poll is based on over 5,000 interviews conducted immediately after people voted at polling stations in 43 constituencies across the country. Almost half of people who said they gave Sinn Féin a first preference vote in election 2024 said housing and homelessness was the most important issue influencing their choice, according to exit poll data. Health and cost of living were the biggest issues for Fianna Fáil voters, while economic stability, cost of living and health, the biggest issues for Fine Gael voters. Islamist rebels in Syria are reported to have taken control of more than half of Aleppo, the country's second city, as they continue their lightning offensive. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which monitors the conflict, says forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad withdrew without offering significant resistance. In Georgia, mass protests sparked by the government's decision to withdraw from the EU integration process have continued for a second night. In the capital, Tbilisi, the situation turned violent, with police using water cannons to disperse the crowds. Now, the weather forecast: cloudy with patchy light rain, drizzle and mist this morning. More persistent rain in the west and southwest later, spreading across the country through the evening. Highest temperatures 12 to 15 degrees in fresh and gusty southerly winds, increasing strong in the west and south later. And there's a warning that southerly winds will reach gale force 8 at times today on coasts from Valencia to Bloody Foreland to Carlingford Lough.
Brian, thank you. And after the break, Richard Boyd Barrett, Paddy Tobin and Jack Chambers.
Make Christmas for everyone at Dunnes Stores, with festive savings and refreshing soft drink 18 can packs like Coca-Cola, Pepsi and 7-Up, just €10 each. And choose from a selection of indulgent treats like Jacob's Biscuit Tins or Ferrero Collection, also just €10 each. Plus, you can save again at the till with a 10 or 50 grocery voucher. However you do your Christmas shop, make Christmas for everyone with Dunnes Stores. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used on next grocery shop of €50 or more. Prices subject to deposit return scheme fees.
White's Irish and International Art Auction is on view this week. See exceptional works by Jack Yates, Paul Henry, Walter Osborne, Letitia Hamilton, Roderick O'Connor, Frank Bowling and many others. On view this week at 38 Molesworth Street and online at whites.ie. White's, where Irish art is truly valued.
Would you believe I'm phoning this radio ad in from my Christmas sea swim? I'm calling from my smartwatch because only Vodafone's one number keeps my smartwatch connected without my phone nearby. So I've got a connection I can always rely on everywhere. Okay, here we go. Feel that? that freedom! Only with Vodafone One Number! Whew.
This Christmas, get an Apple Watch Series 10 with one number connectivity for just €27 a month. Pop in store for more. Vodafone. Together we can.
Offer ends December 31st, 2024. Compatible powered on smartphone, smartwatch and 24-month contract required. Eligibility, limitations and terms apply. See vodafone.ie/terms.
Gifted, the iconic Christmas craft fair is coming back to the RDS for 5 days from Wednesday the 4th to Sunday the 8th of December. Featuring hundreds of Ireland's most creative designers and makers, as well as the spectacular Christmas food emporium. You will find thousands of unique, handmade and sustainable gift ideas for your loved ones at Gifted. Early birds will get a 10% discount off all purchases on Wednesday the 4th of December. Gifted at the RDS from Wednesday the 4th to Sunday the 8th of December. Take a closer look and book tickets at giftedfair.ie.
RTE Radio 1.
Everybody!
International superstar Lionel Richie. Say hello to the hits. A magical night performing all your favourites. Live at 3 Arena Dublin on June 1st. Tickets available now.
We go to have a party. It's starting tonight. You say,
Lionel Richie. Tickets available now.
Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Morning, Ireland. It is 24 minutes to nine. 24 minutes time, they'll start opening the ballot boxes. In the meantime, I'm joined by a trio of politicians with me in studio, Richard Boyd-Barrett and Jack Chambers, and Paddy Tobin of Aintu is on the line. Jack Chambers, Fianna Fáil's Director of Elections. I'll start with you because, as we heard from Micheál Lehane, there had been this sense in the past couple of days that Fianna Fáil had pulled ahead of Fine Gael. There was a pep in many of your candidates' steps about this. And then the exit poll shows that you're behind Fine Gael, despite, you know, all of the concentration on their problems the past week. So when you look at that exit poll, what's your read of it? Do you think it's right read of your party's result?
I think it's too close to call. And I think the three parties that are in around 20% are all within the margin of error. And I think we ran a really positive campaign. I think, when you look at the exit polling from this morning, even the fact that the majority wanted Micheál Martin back as Taoiseach, I think demonstrates the strength of his campaign.
Only very slightly ahead of Mary Lou MacDonald.
Well, but that's he's slightly ahead. And I think that speaks to his campaign and the positivity of his message around, delivery for the Irish people. We've really strong candidates across the country who ran excellent grassroots campaigns. It's very hard to extrapolate a constituency-based analysis on the basis of an exit poll. It's going to come down to transfer, second preferences and the PR system as we know it. So it's neck and neck. I think it's too close to call at this point. And, we'll get a wider trend this morning. And also the regional breakdown will speak to, I suppose, the wider trend or later on this
morning. Because you'd be expecting to do particularly well outside Dublin. That's been seen in the polling as Fianna Fáil's stronger area. Stronger for Fine Gael.
We'll see what the wider regional trend is, and that'll give us a sense of what way this general seats will break.
What Gerard Howland said earlier, I don't know whether you heard him, he said, looking at this exit poll, looking at the campaign, looking at the transfer patterns, there is now no difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And this means there is no alternative government to the status quo.
Well, we ran different campaigns with different priorities and very much a different platform. We'd have emphasis on greater investment in public services and we didn't take the same approach when it came to reduction of taxation, for example. So there were very clear differences in policies. Yes, we worked well together in the last 4.5 years in government through very difficult times, COVID, the energy crisis and the war in Ukraine and challenges that this government has taken. And if you look at the wider political trend across Europe and elsewhere, we're seeing volatility in politics, and that's why I suppose the polling data we've seen today is, the real story is that in a year or two ago, Sinn Féin were in the mid-30s. They're now back around 20% compared to where they were, notwithstanding the challenges the government have and the challenges the Irish people have faced around cost of living and other issues. We have to see what way this trend will break further this morning.
So, Richard Boyd-Barrett, how do you read the exit poll and what's your analysis of the past 3 weeks? Do you think it's a campaign that brought us back to where we were?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we could first of all trot out all the cliches. It's too early to say.
You know. Do them so well, though. Rock ahead. Go on.
It's too early. Well, let's wait. Which way the seeds fall?
The people have spoken.
Exactly. But I mean, I would say what you can draw from this is, first of all, the historic decline of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael continues. They're down again overall. I think they were 43% this time. They're 41% this time round. So 60% of people, more or less, didn't want Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
But they've no alternative government.
Indeed. That's the problem. And I think there was a big momentum behind the idea of a left of centre alternative up until about a year and a half ago, and then it faltered. And
why? Because very, you know, the small parties are always, you know, getting people like us saying, you know, why don't you all come together and form it? But so is it the small parties, or should Sinn Féin have done more actually to build that left alliance with themselves at the centre of it?
We've made no secret of it. We have argued since 2020 for a left government, for the left to come together and to rule out coalition with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So there's a clear choice. And we wrote to all of them.
Wouldn't Sinn Féin be shooting themselves in the foot if they ruled out Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
No.
Say they're not going to disrespect anyone's vote.
No, they would have created momentum for the idea that there's a real alternative. If you say, as they did, and some of the other parties on the left, the Social Democrats and Labour, that we may well end up going in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, you lose the momentum. And what you're actually sending a signal out to your supporters is the return of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is inevitable. So I think that was a big mistake. It was too late in the day when Mary Lou McDonald, I was glad she did it, but it was too late in the day, 2 days out, to say we're going to vote, we're calling for second preferences and third preferences for Provident and Stock Dems. They should have done that earlier.
Yeah.
And I think we would have had a different type of dynamic. And even now, I would say the left have to give people a sense of that alternative. And the other factor that kind of confirms that to me is the low turnout.
Okay.
Lower turnout in working class areas, I suspect among young people, because they didn't see a clear alternative to the establishment. And I think the low turnout will probably suit Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Briefly, before I go to Padraig Tobin, who's on the line, your own vote. I remember Bertie Ahern saying that you were the only one from People Before Profit Solidarity to get elected last time out on your own vote, that the rest of the party needed Sinn Féin transfers to get over the line. Are those transfers going to be there today? Do you agree with that analysis?
I certainly agree there's a lot of overlap between our voters and theirs, and people vote one us two.
So
them,
will that recommendation from Mary Lou be making a difference to your party and party colleagues today?
I think so, although it will depend on the candidates. Where we have very strong candidates, I mean, I think Conor Reddy in Dublin North West is going to be contending, and he's going to be contending on his own merits because he's really run a very strong campaign. Hazel De Norton in other places, those preferences will make a difference. I also think there'll be a fairly strong transfer between us and the Social Democrats in both directions, depending on who's ahead.
All right, Padraig Tobin, good morning to you. Your reaction to the exit poll, your analysis of the campaign.
Yeah, we're very happy. That's a good result for AIM2. It's likely to see our vote double since the last election. And I wouldn't be surprised when all the votes are counted that it tips up towards 4%. So we're growing. We've passed out People Before Profit, Independent Ireland. And, you know, if the votes go the way I think they're going, we may even pass out the Green Party today as well.
That's percentages. What about seats?
Well, I will say, first of all, one of our objectives was state funding. We've done all of this growth without state funding, and it looks like we're going to reach the threshold for state funding, which will mean that we'll be able to employ, you know, a strong team of us, 8-9 staff, which will obviously improve our output. It'll probably add 10 years onto my life as well, to be honest. So that'll be very useful. And we are targeting seats, definitely Cavan Monaghan. We're very, very close to a seat there. Mayo, Wexford, Dublin West. So there's a significant chance that we'll have an AIM2 team returning to the Dáil as well. And I think it's interesting that the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael vote is quite low when you add them together. It's 40%. The Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are becoming the one party in many ways. And while they are transferring to each other, in a lot of constituencies like Meath West, they're actually in a situation where they're competing for the last seats. And I think it's actually quite startling. If anybody has any interest in politics in Meath, for example, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were, you know, rules the roost for 80 years, and here they are fighting for the last seat. Now, it looks like in Meath West and probably in another number of constituencies as well. So I think we have definitely marked out a space for ourselves, a unique, distinct voice, which is challenging the cosy consensus in Leinster House.
And however well you do today, and you certainly had a good media campaign over the past 3 weeks, the fact remains, even if you do come back with more seats, you're unlikely to be part of the next government because none of the big three want to talk to you.
Well, first of all, I thought it was interesting that Mary Lou McDonald suggested that there would be transfers from Sinn Féin to the likes of Sock Dems and people for profit. And yet, you know, Aintu is very clearly probably the only really other, you know, very focused on a United Ireland political party. And yet Sinn Féin, you know, didn't see that as a priority. And it kind of shows where Mary Lou has brought Sinn Féin in recent times, and that the whole issue of United Ireland is sliding down the priority list for Sinn Féin on a regular basis.
Listen, I imagine they dispute that very strongly, and Richard Boyd Barrett.
We're an All Ireland party, focused on United Ireland.
It is still interesting, I think.
The fact is, you don't see yourself being. I mean, given your headlines, you're not going to be part of the next government. That's the reality.
No. I would not rule that out. Absolutely. First of all, Micheál Martin obviously felt that his feelings were bruised when I said that Fianna Fáil were an empty, hollow husk of a political party. I stand by that statement. I don't think that the leadership of Fianna Fáil stands for the core values that Fianna Fáil would have stood for 20, 30, 40 years ago. When Micheál Martin says he's not going into government with a political party, I think that political party nearly needs to get ready to go into government with Fianna Fáil, because, you know, he said very clearly in 2020 that he wouldn't go into government with Fine Gael. And here we are. Fianna Fáil became the junior party to Fine Gael in the last election.
Jack Chambers, how do you respond to all of that? I mean, Micheál Martin was visibly annoyed, wasn't he, at that description of Fianna Fáil as being an empty, hollow husk?
Well, look, I'm not going to replay the campaign, and we have to wait to see the count as it evolves. I just think it's interesting to hear from Padraig that he's talking about more about staff than he is seats. We're about to see votes counted across the country, and he's more interested in having staff around him than he is people elected to the Dáil, which is quite unusual on the day of
that's
an election
not,
result.
That's not the case. That's not what it says.
The campaign has been held. We'll see how Aintu do. I respect everyone who voted for every party, and the campaign has been fought. The votes will be counted. And I respect the democratic process. I'm not going to get involved in mudslinging this morning.
Well, the only thing I'd say is that when you put it there to Padder that there was no chance of him being in government, he was sort of suggesting that might be otherwise, which suggests to me, and I think it's maybe something that should have been zoned in on a little bit more during the election campaign, is that he'd be willing to go in with Fianna Fáil. He ruled out Fine Gael, but he was not ruling out going in with Fianna Fáil. And, you know, that's what Aintu are really, is they want to bring us back to the 1950s version of Fianna Fáil, and fair enough, that's what they stand for, but that's definitely not what I think Ireland needs.
Pather.
Okay. Yeah, so listen, Richard Boyd Barrett has basically put himself into a situation in each election where he knows he can't go into government. And, you know, Richard is a very good speaker. He's a very clever politician. But in reality, I don't think anybody across the political spectrum really actually believes that Richard wants to be a minister in a government to physically change the direction of this country.
And you're different in that regard, Pather Tobin.
Yeah, I do think so. I think that the housing crisis is of such a serious situation. I think that the cost of living crisis is so desperate for people. And I think, you know, even the transport crisis of the commuter belt is so hard on people that, you know, we just can't float along for 15 years in Leinster House and not make an effort to get into government to make a change. And, you know,
I do want to come back to that.
Very briefly, and then I want to bring in Jack Chambers.
Yeah, no, we're very clear. We do want to be part of a left government. What we have said clearly
happen,
is
Richard.
We won't be a prop to Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, which it seems you're willing to be a prop to Fianna Fáil. So that's clear. And we're very, very focused on the issues of
Jack
housing.
Chambers, who are you going to talk to?
Well, look, what we said before the election is what our position is. We'll talk to parties who support the enterprise economy.
You won't be talking to Aintu, though, will you?
Absolutely not. We've ruled that out. And I said, from what Padraig has said there, I'm not sure you know, as I said, he seems to be more interested in staff than
and
he does
stall
seats.
And you won't be talking to Richard Boyd Bowen.
Well, we've very different policy platform. I respect Richard and the people who vote for him and his party. And but there has to be a common basis on policy and substance. And that's the position which we'll take when it comes to any discussions on coalition formation. Okay. And as I said, we have to see the wider breakdown of what happens later on today.
Can you explain to me how, after three, I don't think I have ever seen an election campaign where there was so much promised to the voters, billions and billions and billions. There was targets and there was numbers of houses and there was five-year plans and there was this, that and the other. And none of it seems to have moved the dial at all. As Gerard Howland said, the people of Ireland appear to have refused to be bribed by their own money.
Well, look, we set out different priorities across every policy area, as you should in a manifesto, but also grounded that with a sensible approach to economic management, which was that protecting economic progress.
No, but that's your policies. I'm talking about the campaign and the way it landed.
Yeah, look, I think obviously there are, we know from the exit poll data that clearly cost of living is a major pressure point for people. Housing is a continued focus for so much of the population. And obviously that was the wider debating point that we've seen. And look, the fragmentation has continued, and that's the wider direction.
I mean, none of the big three on these numbers even making 25%. So it doesn't suggest that if you're back as a government, you'd be a terrifically popular government.
Well, look, everyone's focus in politics, and indeed whether you're in government or opposition, is to try and advance the policies that we've set out in our manifesto, and that'll form the basis of further discussions that'll take place. But we want to improve things for people, their living standards, redress issues with cost of living, and support much greater housing delivery, and that's been our broader focus.
The good thing about the exit poll is it shows that housing, health and cost of living are very high. There's also a high figure for other, which I personally believe to be Palestine. It's not specified in the issue. So I actually think the moving of the dial in generally from a policy point of view has actually been in a left direction. I would go as far as to say some of the parties of the right have stolen some of the left wing's clothes policy wise, but that actually could be a good thing in the new government, because it will mean whoever's in power will have to deliver on those things, and there will be a lot of pressure on them to do so.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. And I know it's only 9 minutes now until we start opening the ballot box. We're going to get more details now on the exit poll and more political reaction.
Fiacre O'Kioni is here, and I'll come to you very shortly, Fiacre, but we're going to speak first to Michael Fitzmaurice, who is an outgoing TD and a candidate for Independent Ireland, their first election as a political party. Michael Fitzmaurice, good morning. Thanks for taking our call today. Your reaction to the showing in the exit poll for Independent Ireland, just over 2%.
Yeah, look, at being honest about it, my reaction to all the exit poll is that I wouldn't actually be over concerned about it, even if I was a different party, because I think it's something like 5,000 people, 43 constituencies, little over 100 people. I think that will move a small bit, even for everyone. You know, that's being quite honest about it. I think that the proof will be in the pudding when the votes are open. In my opinion, that will change it.
If the exit poll is to be matched in the results, and we do see a similar pattern to what happened in 2020 with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin merging as the three largest parties, but this time with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael having served a period in government, they're likely to need help to form the next government. Are your party interested in talking to them after this election?
We've made it very clear. We've a policy document there, Gavin. We've made it very clear that we're not going up to Dublin to make up the numbers. That we are willing to sit down, providing that the policy documents that we've put forward. And in fairness, in a lot of them, the two main parties moved to a lot of the same policies, especially in agriculture and all of that, with us, the same policies as us over the last few weeks. It was nearly copy and paste with some of the manifestos that came out. But we are, and we have said this from day one, if the policies can be agreed, then we are willing to sit down with them.
Are you surprised that there's been so little change according to this poll? If that was to be matched in the results, we would be one of the few countries in the Western world not to have turfed out a government.
Well, it's hard to turf out a government if you look at Sinn Féin went through what I would call a rough period in the line of polls, if you look at it. And the two main parties, if you even go back over the last year or 2 years, you always look at the two main parties having over 40% of the vote in this country. One might go up and one might go down, but in general, you know, that's the reality here. And then you have Sinn Féin, who's, you know, boxing nearly at the same level. And that's the, other than that, smaller parties like ourselves and that, will be on lower levels. And there's no new, say, wave of a different people voting a different way. And I'm not surprised, to be quite frank about it. I always said, and I think when I was on your programme, I'd have made it very clear that I believe that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are going to be the two big parts of the jigsaw, and that to either need a third leg to the stool or a fourth leg to the stool to make up a government.
Michael Fitzmaurice, thank you very much for speaking with us. Michael Fitzmaurice of Independent Ireland. Ballot boxes will be opened in about 5 minutes' time. Then your votes will be sorted and counted before we learn who's got the most votes. Candidates are eliminated and elected, all of which will take a while, and we'll be with you throughout here on RTE Radio 1. For now, we have an exit poll from our political staff. Fiacre O'Kioni is here. He's been poring over all the detail in the RTE Irish Times TG Carra Trinity College Dublin exit poll by Ipsos and Behaviour and Analysis. Fiacre, a quick reminder of how the poll was taken.
Yes, Gavin. So the poll was taken with more than 5,000 people, 5,018 people in 253 polling stations in all constituencies around the country. And they were asked to fill out a questionnaire privately, so a number of questions on how they voted. But of course, those numbers and those details aren't really what we're interested in right now. What we're interested in is the snapshot of what the exit poll tells us. And firstly, just a quick reminder on the first and second preferences of the exit poll. So the first preferences for the exit poll, it's suggesting that Sinn Féin is on 21.1%, Fine Gael is just behind it on 21%, and Fianna Fáil is on 19.5%. And on second preferences, so basically when transfers begin to come in, Fianna Fáil is on 20%, Fine Gael is also on 20%, and Sinn Féin is on 17%. Now, it does start to get interesting on transfers because of our electoral system. And on second preferences, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, it would appear, are likely to transfer to each other according to the exit poll.
And that's the big change from the last time.
And that is the big change from the last time. So if you look on what the exit poll is suggesting, it's suggesting that people who had the first preference for Fianna Fáil, they are going, about 30% of them will be going towards Fine Gael and second preferences, and Fine Gael to Fianna Fáil will be about 32%. But for Sinn Féin voters, there's also something to keep in mind on this, that in terms of age groups, on the second preference, Sinn Féin is by far and away the most popular young people's party, basically in the two age groups under the age of 34. So between 18 and 24s, Sinn Féin is at 24% support, compared to 12% for Fianna Fáil and 16% for Fine Gael. And in the 25 to 34 age group, Sinn Féin also has 30% support in second preferences, compared to 14% for Fianna Fáil and 9% for Fine Gael.
We don't get to pick a Taoiseach when we go to vote in a general election, but we did ask people in this exit poll.
Yeah, we absolutely did. And according to the exit poll, at least, this is the two-horse race between Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald. The exit poll says 35% of respondents said they want to see Micheál Martin lead the next government. Now, he's closely followed by Mary Lou MacDonald on 34%. And you might be wondering
That's very close.
And you might be wondering where Simon Harris, the Fine Gael leader, is in this. Well, according to the exit poll, he is trailing on 27% support. Now, Mary Lou MacDonald is by far the most popular choice, again, among 18 to 24-year-olds, to be the next Taoiseach at 59%, and at 25 to 34 year olds at 56% support. But at older age group, that then at older age groups between, you know, the 30s up to the 60s, that switches to Micheál Martin marginally at between 34 and 36%. Simon Harris, he does not lead any age group, and he is somewhere between 13 and 33% support in the age groups.
Fiacre, I know you've been poring over this since the early hours. You've loads of detail. It's all on the RT website for people to read while they're heading into their election count centres and waiting for results over the next few hours. For now, Fiacre O'Kioni, thank you.